We're delighted to be joined in studio by a very important man who had some difficulties on one of his recent jobs.
First thing I'm doing is sorting out flaming music. What the?
Oh my God.
Someone's had a pop at me van.
Les Dennis, how are you, sir?
Very good, guys.
Nice to be here.
Nice to
and
be
I'd
there.
Forgotten about Michael and his ice cream van.
Poor Michael and his ice cream van, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, recently in the show, they were getting ice creams and there were lots of stuff on social media saying, well, that should have been Michael. Should have been Michael's van.
Because you died in that show.
I did die in that show.
Spoiler.
I won't be coming back.
But what a way to die, though. You died on the cobbles.
No, I didn't die on the cobbles. It was at Phelan's. Phelan was the guy that kind of let me die. He didn't kill me as such.
He
didn't help.
He watched me die.
Yeah.
He didn't call for an ambulance or anything. But it was at the building where they were supposedly building these flats.
Right.
So it was a location away from the cobbles. But certainly
that would have been more romantic. Died on the cold cobbles of Weatherfield.
Right. Well, that just happened before that, you know, with David's wife.
That's right.
Kylie.
Didn't you go back though a little bit afterwards, and people were in their best gear?
Yeah, and basically it was about a week after I'd finished, and I went to just to catch up with some people there, and Sue Cleaver's a mate, and went up for lunch, and suddenly said to all the cast, "What, you're all dressed up? What are you doing dressed up?" And they looked really embarrassed. They said, "We're at your funeral. We're filming your funeral this afternoon." Or Michael's funeral. And they said, in fact, the hearse is in the street. So Claire, my wife, and I went down and I had photos with my own hearse, which was a bit surreal.
Isn't that, because that's the thing that people talk about. They often fantasize about their own funerals and, you know, who
people
show
have
up
living funerals now,
do.
Don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Do they do that? You know, so it was kind of a bit like that. I saw the order of service and everything.
Did you approve the hymns?
Yeah. Well, I looked and thought, well, they're not my choice. But then I thought, well, they're probably Michael's.
That's the key, isn't it?
Right. If you could have stepped in and requested a song to be played at your funeral, what would it be?
Well, if it was my funeral, it would be In My Life by the Beatles. Mm. You know, because I, you know, born and brought up in Liverpool, went to the same school that John Lennon had gone to, Quarry Bank. So, you know, whenever I go back to Liverpool, that song is kind of like the soundtrack of my life. I just find
playing
myself
in your head.
Playing it in my head.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And are you still greeted with open arms and autograph hunters when you go home to Liverpool?
When I go home to Liverpool, people just go, "All right there, Les." Yeah. just accept that I'm there. I mean, I don't live far, and I'm there all the time. My family are there.
Are you a red or a blue?
I'm a red.
Oh, yeah. So what do you think of Coutinho? Is he going to go to Barcelona?
I don't know. What do you think?
I'm a United fan, so I hope he does.
I really hope
he heads off. Yeah, but
I think it would be a shame if we lost him.
It would be
a shame.
I was just in Liverpool at the weekend.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. And my sister-in-law's Liverpoolian, and I just love the straightforward honesty, no messing.
It's very much like Dublin, I think. They say Liverpool is the second capital of Ireland anyway, don't they?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's that kind of same sense of humour. And as I was driving through in the car this morning, I just thought, this is just like being back in Liverpool.
Yeah. I got a murder the Liverpool accent for a second.
What did somebody say?
I was in a bar and there was a young barman there, and you know, he was working away, and I said, "So are you working here all the time? Are you a student?" He goes, I'm learning a trade." And I said, "Oh, all right, so what's the dream? Like, what do you want?" He goes, "I want to be a plumber and I want to have my own van."
There you go. Yeah. At least he knew exactly what he wanted.
Yeah. That was it. Like, nothing else. No, not just
my own
this
van.
Is it. Yeah. And you know, by talking to him, that is exactly what he's going to get.
I got into a cab in Liverpool, and the guy went, "All right, let's just hang on a minute. This is for a piece of pie." And I was like, "What?" And they were playing Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, my God.
With the controller. Hang on, Les. This is for a piece of pie.
And did you... Like, you're a man who knew he wanted to be a plumber. Did you always know you wanted to be on TV and an actor?
I didn't want to... It wasn't TV so much. When I was a kid, I watched the Sunday Night at the London Palladium. Mm. And Jimmy Tarbuck was kind of like my hero. Then because, again, he'd gone to the the same school that John Lennon had gone to, Quarry Bank. And so, you know, it seemed attainable to me because he was like, in the 60s, I was watching that show and, you know, he was like the fifth Beatle.
Yeah.
He was the floppy-haired, funny Beatle, although all four of the Beatles were as funny as him anyway. But I just thought, I want to do this. And I started doing talent shows. And when I went to Butlins as a kid with the family, I entered the talent competition. Okay. That was it, and that's where I started. So I've never done a proper job. I was still doing the clubs while I was still at school.
Okay, really?
Family Fortunes went on for, you were doing that for like 10 years or
15
something, right?
15 years. 15, I did 15 years on Family Fortunes, yeah.
And do you have really good memories of the show?
I have great
show?
Memories. I loved it. You know, it was a great show to do, and we recorded like three shows a day for 3 weeks a year. So then I was finished. It was just like,
oh my God, amazing.
3 weeks work through a year, and then you were on telly 26 weeks a year
we
on a Saturday night. You know,
give teachers abuse because they like get their 3 months holidays. Right. You work 3 weeks a year for 15
on
years.
That show. Yeah, for 15 years.
Amazing.
Because that's what's so interesting. Like, you know, and work-wise, it's such a short space of time. Yeah. But like you say, you're then, you know, you're on telly for the whole year, and you're a household face.
Which
and
was
name.
Great, you know. Yeah. It used to be kind of Family Fortunes and Blind Date on a Saturday night,
right.
And I get a kick out of people saying, "Oh, that's what we used to watch those shows as we were getting ready to go out on a Saturday night." That seemed to be the, you know, the two shows that people watched, and we got the stupid answers, which is
that's what I'm going to say. Because now you still live, because even though the TV show, you're not on the TV show. It lives as an internet thing because people love those little clips of, you know, we ask our audience, you know, and people just give a stupid answer and you go up and you look at it and it's actually on the board. Yeah, and like, it's your reactions to some of them, which is even funnier.
Yeah. When I first started, I thought I followed Bob Monkhouse, the brilliant Bob Monkhouse, and Max Bygraves had done it for a while. But Bob, you know, used to do a gag with everybody. So I thought that's what I had to do. So I was always like thinking, three shows a day, I'm going to have a gag for every single person. And it took me a little while to realize that I didn't need to do it like Bob. I could find my own way of doing it, and that the humour should come out of the situation. And just, if I got a stupid answer, you know, name a bird with a long neck, Naomi Campbell. You know, if I got that, you know, or name something other than doors you can open, your bowels. Yeah. If I got answers like that, then I didn't need to.
No, the humour was there.
All I needed to do was look down the camera.
Well, just watching you trying not to kill yourself laughing, I mean, that was the joy of it, wasn't it?
It was great fun to do. Great.
Just going back to the Coronation Street experience, you know, it's always a question that you think, you know, what's it like going in there when something has been running for so long and then you try and move into that machine?
It was, do you know what, on my first day, I was... I didn't die on the cobbles, but I started on the cobbles. Mm-hmm. I burgled Gail's house.
That's right.
So it was never going to go well, was it? You know, like marrying Gail, you've got no chance anyway. You know, does Gail Platt have a black dress? You know,
so that family is so beyond cursed.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Adams family that you're playing probably in better shape.
You're probably more less dysfunctional than the Platts. On the first day, I literally had to leg it down the cobbles and jump into a van, you know. And I was like, I can't believe I'm here, because I'd loved the show from the very beginning. I saw the first episode.
Wow.
And I, you know, did Mavis and did all those impressions from it. So when I, you know, was legging it down and they said, just jump into the van, I in my nerves on this first day, because you are intimidated no matter what you've done before. You're on the street. And instead of... I jumped into the Grips van, which was a big, shiny, grey Mercedes, beautiful Grips van, instead of getting into the tatty old van that was there for Michael to get into.
No.
We're going to have to take that again.
Yeah. We're not being shipped off to the hotel just yet.
Exactly. Les, come back! He's running off down the road.
But it was a thrill to do, to be part of that show. And I was there for 2.5 years and it just went so quickly.
Who is your favourite Coronation Street character of all time?
Mavis. Favourite character of all time? That's a really hard one, I think, because... I think Hilda Ogden has got to be there, you know, because I mean, she was Hilda and Stan. If I can put two together, it was that combination of Hilda and Stan that was just lovely, you know.
Yeah.
Do you remember that famous one where he goes, "What's that smell?" When she's wearing perfume, she goes, "Woman, Stanley, woman." Just brilliant.
And that whole character, that persona of the curlers in and the sort of house coat and all that. It's really died out now, isn't it? You wouldn't just see that in the UK anywhere, would you?
You see
really?
It in Liverpool all the time.
Yeah, the young girls
see,
getting ready to go out.
The girls going out, going out for a pint of milk.
It's come back around, isn't it?
It's come back around.
The good news is the reason you're here, of course, is because you're going to the Borgosh Energy Theatre August 15th to August 22nd. You're in the Adams family, and we can see you because it's radio, people can't see you, but there's a very particular clue as to which character of the Adams family you're playing.
There could be a good clue, you know, and I'm not wearing the bald cap.
I've
gone the whole hog and I've shaved my head for Uncle Fester.
You did it live on telly as well.
I did it live on telly, yeah. Basically, I was in rehearsals and I tried the bald cap and I just went to our director. I said, Matt, I'm gonna shave my head. And he said, well, call your wife, Claire, and just make sure. So I called her and she said, well, look, we were going to I think it's called the Butterfly Ball for Breast Cancer Now that Saturday.
Right.
Said it seems apt to do it for charity, so we did it for charity. And Nicky Clark shaved my head. That must have been the most expensive head shave ever.
And what's it like?
I've got used to it now. It's kind of.
How long has it been since you did it?
Easter. It was at Easter. Okay. So, you know, but now I've got to that point where I have to shave it every other day, you know. I have to kind of like get the razor out and do that. It's like Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now, kind of standing there with the razor.
But you must be kind of relieved, because I think I'd be most afraid that if I shaved my hair off that it wouldn't come back.
I just went on holiday. We had 10 days holiday and I let it grow back and it got fuzzy and it was there.
Okay.
It was
right,
there. So happy. It's still there. It's going to come back.
You have a very fine shaped head, I have to say. No, genuinely. Like, because
he says that to all our guests.
No, because I remember I gave myself a two all over once and I was a bit worried doing it going, like, I got a really weird shaped head, you know. But like,
I couldn't.
It's okay.
I have a head shaped like a bicycle helmet. It's aerodynamic and then it's got this point at the back. Yeah, it's like one of those velociraptors or something.
And even when you've shaved it, the headphones are still there.
It's amazing. Yeah. And how do you find the stage, the musical stuff?
I love it, you know, and people are always surprised. I get reviews that say, Les Dennis is a revelation. We didn't know he sang. We didn't know he did this stuff. But my CV is, I did Hairspray.
Yeah.
I did, Spamalot, Legally Blonde, Me and My Girl. I've done like about 10 musicals. But this is a great show, Adam's Family. It's basically, if you loved the TV series or you loved the movies, you're going to get exactly what you expect.
Brilliant.
But you're also going to get music, you know, great songs and a great night out. Fantastic show.
Well, 15th to the 22nd of August, Les and the rest of the gang are in the Adam's Family in the Borgosh.
And the voice is easy as well, because I just go from Mavis. I go from Mavis up there to Fester.
Okay.
And there he is. He's American. Just up a little octave and you have him.
Brilliant. It's amazing. Les Dennis, thank you so much for coming in today and best of luck with the show.
Cheers.
Thanks a million.